Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Drama. Hey y'all, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host Mr. F the N-Word. And of course, I want you to holler at me. Call in number is 347-826-7435. Once again, that call in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call me, you can hit me on the email tip, right? Just reach out and touch me. smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Hello. Once again, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, I want to hear from you. If you ghost listening, you can jump up in the chat room and holler at me. If not, I want you to social network with me. You can go to Facebook and jump into my Smooth Drama page. It's all kinds of ways. Just Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, that's where I'm at. I want to hear from you. Oh, can I say that we talked about weekends and how they your weekend can span a lot of emotions. You know, I was like high and low. I was happy, disappointed, all at the same time. Let me explain. First, Stockton Con. Man, Stockton Con was off the chain. Me and my company, Brother Age Scott, National Press Comics, we was in the building, and it was all love. I mean, man, I felt so much love in Stockton. You know, and if you don't believe me, check out my Facebook, check out my Instagram. It's crazy mad pictures. It's the love was all over the, you know, you feel the love. It was just crazy. It almost made me want to live in Stockton for about 32 minutes. About 32 minutes, maybe 31. But then I got to thinking, well, you know, I'm feeling the love in Stockton, but then I'd be living in Stockton. And it's no disrespect to Stockton. Hey, shout out to all the homies and all the nice people in Stockton. You know, y'all off the chain. But, yeah, I don't think I want to live in Stockton. Even though I got a whole lot of love there. So that was the high. Then, you know, I was still high. I had watched the Game of Thrones. You know, there was a leak. There was a leak, Stockton, California. There was a leak of Game of Thrones episode 6, right? And man, it's off the chain. You know, they finally got to fight the dead zombies, the ice zombies, you know, the dragons, all that. Homie killed the dragon. If you watch Game of Thrones, you know what I'm talking about. It's like the payoff. All the main characters is together. It's on. The dragon gets killed. The homies almost got killed. I mean, it was just a crazy action-packed episode, you know. And so it's like the highs keep going. And get home from Stockton Con, and I watch one of my favorite shows, Power. One of my other favorite shows, Power. And then Ghost's daughter gets gatted up because of her dumb-ass brother, Mr. Tough Guy. I ain't gonna snitch. I ain't no snitch. Got his sister killed. I was sitting up there, and I know this is all fictional, right? It's all fictional, so not really supposed to get caught up in it, but you know, get caught up. I was invested. And I'm like, man, how the little girl is dead now, the daughter's dead. It was like, I was like, man. And I think what really hit me, and I don't know how folks see it, but to see a black man kill a young girl in cold blood on the screen, just pop and just run off. I mean, it was just something that it just didn't sit well with me. And I know, once again, it's fictional. It's like, I can say you don't see that normally in other places. So I'm like, you take your belief out of it, as they say, suspend your belief. But at the same time, you see this and you're like, is this a visual that we needed to see? Really? I don't know. All I know, it was very disappointing TV. So I went from my Stockton Con and Game of Thrones high to this low. I was just disappointed. Like, man, that's messed up. And even though it ain't real, still messed up the last part of my weekend. Like, but then, you know, if you listened to me last week, I was talking about Michael Bennett and how he called for white players to stand up. And I was like, yeah, the likelihood of that happening. I'm like, when is that going to happen? Because, you know, I've been a vocal critic of all this homosexual heroism. You know, it's like, there's a ton of folks coming out the closet. I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm bisexual, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay. And they're like, oh, the courage, the strength of conviction. You know? And I'm like, yeah. When are we going to talk about the strength of conviction of a white dude supporting, you know, these black players' protests? And sure enough, Chris Long comes out. And then a couple more guys for the Browns, and you start seeing more and more folks in the NFL as a union. But I stand corrected, and I'll always be the guy to say, hey, I stand corrected. I can't say nothing. It's white guys came and showed their support. Now, obviously, it's something that's going to skew the real issue. You know, me and homie, so there's a real issue about the violence. And everybody will, of course, make it about the flag. But no, it's about the shooting of unarmed black men, non-combatant black men. That's the issue. That's what Kaepernick started off protesting in the first place. And that's what these brothers are supporting. And now white players supporting them. Man. It's some things that you grow up and you think you're not going to see. I remember I think it's like 20 years ago, talking about, yeah, we ain't never going to see no black president. Saw that. And as you know, I'm on record. I got an old show where I'm talking about, yeah, when we going to see the white guy stand with black players. And sure enough, they did it. They heard me talking. Was like, you know what? You just going to shut him up. They just put it all up in my face. Because it wasn't just one. it was three. It was like, look, we gonna do it in threes. And I'm a guess going forward now, since the Virgin then got broke, probably gonna get a whole lot more. I'm not gonna say it's gonna be an obscene, inordinate amount of protesters, but still, it'll be protesters, because it's almost like it'll be like fashionable. Because one, you know, I'm guessing a lot of the players, you know, they support their teammates, and at the same time, if it's something that can piss off Roger Goodell and just be on the bandwagon and look cool, they probably gonna jump on it for that. Now, I'm not saying that all of them are like that, you know, because individual cases, there are some folks who are like, yeah, you know, that's a good cause. Like Chris Long, he did a whole interview, wrote a couple paragraphs on it. I mean, he was very articulate about it. So, can't really argue it. And I'm the kind of guy that when I'm wrong, I have no problem saying I was wrong. But I will say this, we still reserve judgment on seeing where this goes from there. What is the backlash to these white players? Because I saw a tweet where it was like, wow, the Browns have a ton of players protesting. And I'm like, you know, I don't like the Cleveland Browns, but because it was so many of them protesting, it's like, I'm almost a fan of the Cleveland Browns. It's like, it's kind of scary, but it's not. Maybe they'll win, but no, their quarterback sucks. But I can kind of root for them. You know, when you got a whole bunch of cats, and then and it's almost funny because I always call into question those other guys, because it's like, you got like 10, 11 guys standing around, you know, getting their protest on. And you're that other guy, like the reluctant guy just standing there like, this is awkward. But we're teammates, right? So it's funny because you'll have that guy, he's just sitting there like, I don't know. But that's the thing. It's a part of my highs and my lows and my highs again. And since I'm on the highs, I might as well jump on the lows. Lo and behold, I couldn't believe it. I was shook. Somebody vandalized the oldest Christopher Columbus monument in Baltimore. Apparently, protesters smashed a hole in the monument and destroyed the inscription that said, "Sacred to the memory of Chris Columbus, October, whatever, whatever." Don't give a shit. Anyway, the monument was destroyed, all scuffed up, and they wrote a sign on it: racism, tear it down, and the future is racial and economic justice. Oh, the horror. Man, it hurt my heart so much to see that they destroyed the monument to Christopher Columbus. Whew. I mean, words are escaping me right now. The hurt and disappointment that's happening right now. That the people of Baltimore that have the nerve, the gall. Can I throw another word that I just don't ever use, and most people don't use? The temerity to deface a picture memorizing a memorial of Christopher Columbus. Great man. Man. It's like one of those things where we just need a time machine. Just, you know, instead of just tearing down the memorial, we just get the time machine and just bust a cap on it. I mean, but Baltimore, that's a start. Shout out to B-More. Shout out to B-More. Just y'all looking at Confederate monuments? Nah. We gonna go for this old cracker ass cracker Christopher Columbus, aka Christopher Crispo, the bastard. Shit just blew the whole damn thing up. Just blow them all up. I'm disappointed. See, this is that thing, like we talk about those videos where, you know, the video says one thing, but because racism is involved, it means another. So I'm doing this video right now. Man, it is a travesty of justice that Christopher Columbus's statue, monument, was defaced and defiled and rendered unreadable. Okay, I can't play no more. I need a break. But what I was saying didn't really mean. I'm gonna let the homies just say it. This is the lynch mob. You and your heroes.
Come on, y'all. Fuck you with my shotgun. 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 Probably wanna crack a fuck, no, he's a zero. And I ain't with the redneck hero. I'm black, black, making y'all fucked in the face. We should have been free in the first place. Now let me drop it like it should be dropped. And watch Rocky Marciano ass get mobbed. Madonna, you motherfucking slut. You can show your butt and then you're gonna get up.
Yeah.
The Beatles, I just can't say. Some motherfucking rave, bro, we got broke shit.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can have Brian double. Hey, Roots were good against the white boy, but he couldn't hit a nigga like Doc Hood. Marilyn Monroe was the hope for the Kennedy. So worry, they didn't know the enemy, then I'll point them out if they don't know. They tell Uncle Sam that I'm looking for them. Cause I don't bow down to no zero. And I'll say, fuck you and your hero.
Yeah.
Fuck you with my shotgun. George Washington, he wore a wig like a ass, just like Rock Hudson.
Yeah,
him and Liberace both were like Hudson Nick. Gobble up nuts like Chucky Bones on the motherfucking lips. Don't talk about birds and all of his cool and shit. Cause I'll put Maggie, you, Joy, Elijah One, Isaiah, and Barkley. Now, bitch, I'm sorry. You asked me, did I like Garcinia? You fella. From the lynch mob. Elvis is dead, is a joke. I've never been caught for all the songs he stole.
And you put James Brown on the road.
I know the deal. You hate to see a black face.
Yeah.
Yeah, no motherfucking race. Cause you still think we're Negro. But I'll say, fuck you and your hero.
DJ fucking with the beat.
Yeah.
Rest,
together you got smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Lynch Mob. Fuck you and your heroes. Although they didn't put the fuck you on the cover. I just say, you know, you and your heroes, just fuck you and your heroes. It's the word I'm looking for, apropos. I'm just all up in my thesaurus today. That's what it is. I'm thesaurusing it out. Anyway, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And like always, I encourage you, email me. Smoothdrama at smoothdrama.com. I want to hear from y'all. I don't get to hear from y'all enough for me. You know, I get my occasional emails, but I don't get that love like I think I should. You know, I get the underground love. I want the underground love. I ain't no earthworm. I got a burrow all in. I'm blind. And stuff. I can see. I can see, and even when I can't see, I've got glasses. I can put them on, then I can see, and I can pretend to look educated and smart, although these glasses are not good for far away. It make me feel blind. I like Red Fox, Harlem Nights. Anyway. So, yeah. Man, y'all know. We got a lot of stuff going on here. The funny thing is, what your president did. You know, I don't want to talk about it because, you know, talking about him, you know, is like a red herring because it's what he does. What I find amazing is, and it's a playbook. That for some reason just never gets old. And it always gets used. And it always works. I guess that's that whole simple-minded sheep kind of thing. Sheeple, as my homegirl would say. Sheeple. Like, you know, they started talking about a war in Afghanistan. I'm going to lay out how we're going to win in Afghanistan. It's like, but there ain't no win in Afghanistan. Because they ain't trying to win. They're trying to be Scarface. As most people know, Afghanistan is where they grow the poppy seeds. You know, when the Russians were at war with Afghanistan, when they were freedom fighters for America, and if you don't remember that, I would instruct you to go back and Google Ronald Reagan, Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666, and look at his dedication of the space shuttle Challenger to the freedom fighters in Afghanistan to understand the hypocrisy and all that. I mean, because most folks, they love and revere Reagan. And so if there's any of my Confederate conservative brethren, because every now and again y'all call me and try to talk whatever, like I care about that type stuff. But yeah. Ronald Reagan dedicates the Space Shuttle Challenger to the freedom fighters of Afghanistan, which we knew as Bin Laden, a.k.a. Scarface of the region. because once again, it's about the poppy seeds. And then, as some of you, most of you do know, don't know, the Taliban had stopped a lot of the drug trade, which, of course, brought the U.S. in, because they're like, hey, it's how we get our cash, homie. This is that tax-free cash. We can't have you messing that up. And so, of course, we had to go into Afghanistan, under the guise of, some folks bombed the United States, 9/11 style. Let's go after Afghanistan, because they had nothing to do with it. And that's kind of how that happened. And so we've been there ever since. And so now, lack of racial harmony, shit on the powder keg. So what do? Go into that playbook and break out of war. You break out of war, you kind of stop civil unrest. Why? Because folks start focusing their simple-ass minds on a war that we really shouldn't be fighting, not giving a damn. I mean, because actually there's a war that's happening here in America. And, I'm not saying that I'm a proponent for a race war and that it's even on the table. I'll just say this. There is a lot of pushback that's happening. Because if we parallel it, in the Make America Great times, when America was allegedly great, black folks and the other people of color kind of wasn't ready to bust back. Kind of wasn't even thinking about it. It wasn't even an issue. Now, I'm fairly comfortable in saying that probably a lot of folks that's going to shoot back. There's the talking crazy about the gangbangers. I can't say that I'm down with gangbanging or understanding thugging, whatever. But I have faith that if folks come after them, start shooting at them, whatnot, they'll probably shoot back. And so when you see and hear that, and I know some of you have seen what's been going on across the country. And hell, it's a worldwide phenomenon, but across the country in particular, you hear the civil unrest and you see how, one, they took out the Christopher Columbus statue and tearing down Confederate statues and unapologetically so, to the point where you got, the Klan back in the days, they can come out, scare the hell out of everybody, and let that be it. And what we say matters. But, of course, it has changed. Now, there was one photo that they're making a big deal out of. I guess this happened Friday, where in Lynchburg, Virginia. Lynchburg. Think about that for a second. There's a place called Lynchburg, Virginia. I wonder what happened there historically. Anyway, Lynchburg, Virginia, there's a picture where one of those crazy folk, the Virginia Flaggers, out, you know, to which one of their members is my dumbass of the week, but that's later on this week. But there was one of their members who is there. The Virginia Flagger, they're stationed as monument guards because apparently it's that rich history of the South. It has nothing to do with racism and the love and loving of slave masters. No. Mm-mm. No. This is all about protecting the history of the South. Because the South's history must be preserved. Because if it's not preserved, I mean, people are not going to remember it. That's kind of the logic, right? Like, well, we always, viva slavery. Viva Andale, viva slavery, yeah. No. Anyway, so yeah, what happens is one of the Virginia Flaggers and a Black Lives Matter protester had an encounter where apparently the girl was trembling and shaking, and so homie walks up to her and said, and I quote, "We are not KKK." And she grabbed him and wouldn't let go. And he explained that they were there to stop all this and prevent another Charlottesville. He said, "If I were KKK, would I hold you like this?" And she said, "No." And so somebody took a picture. It's this, you know, this Virginia Flagger who was there to make sure that Charlottesville didn't happen again. Yeah, even though the Virginia Flaggers are upholders of the Confederate flag and its history, they're not KKKers. They just, hey, you know, don't take this monument down because it represents my racist history. And, you know, the Black woman. I mean, I just looked at it, and maybe I just have a weird way of looking at things. Probably do. I just saw she was a fine sister, and he was like, "Well, let me get a hug again." Maybe, I don't know. No, I mean, it's like they put this picture out like, oh, this is symbolic. This means that the KKK, Virginia Flaggers, and Black Lives Matter protesters can come together and hold hands and sing Kumbaya and eat squirrel and cabbage together. No. Hell no. Why in the hell? I mean, because this picture just means it was just two individuals. I guess he was sincere. I guess she was scared and sincere. And so they hugged. And it's like, oh, look at the sensitive, non-KKK, Confederate racist flag man holding that Black Lives Matter scared Black woman and consoling her, telling her, hey, we're not there to kill you. We don't want to hurt you. We just want to protect these racist monuments and to make sure none of that stuff that happened in Charlottesville happens here. That's what we're talking about. I mean, it's the craziest thing. And so that's out there. And so now everybody's going to be on this kumbaya, super kumbaya. Kumbaya, let's love us all. Perfect example, Kevin Durant, him, the Golden State Warriors, they're not feeling going to the White House, because, you know, when you win a championship, NFL, NHL, NBA, you go to the White House and there's ceremony and, you know, talk to the president. Kevin Durant's like, nah, I ain't feeling it. To which there's this woman, you know, one of them blonde reporters, news bloggers, whatnot. I know her name, but I'm just not going to say it because she don't deserve to have her name said. Anyway, she's a heifer. And she said, hey, well, you could inspire people by showing up at the White House and being bigger. And in the moment, he's like, yeah. And Kevin Durant answers, well, yeah, I could probably inspire more people by not going. I mean, you know, she's like going on trying, oh, you should be the bigger person. And I'm like, no. All the time, they're always asking us to be the bigger person. We've been the bigger person like 589 million times. I mean, we stick to sports. Jackie Robinson. What happened to Jackie Robinson? I mean, he was talked crazy to. Spit on. Homie died young. Now, he had cancer, but I mean, you know, think some of that stress and the unnecessary vitriol and violence that he underwent had something to do with that? Maybe, maybe not. All I know is that he went through a lot. Most people, if you don't know, Jack Johnson, first black heavyweight champion. I mean, and he was out there. He was like, look, I'm the heavyweight champion. I beat up white people, and I get paid for it. And he was out there. He was dating white women. I mean, it was like really, really bad. And they was really mad at him. So mad that another black man didn't get a chance until Joe Louis. Who, there's a movie, Cinderella Man. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, Cinderella Man, it's a great movie. And about the hard times of this dude. But Cinderella Man, Joe Louis had to pay him to get a chance at the title. A lot. Like, over 50% of his purse. And then he had to pay him again. And, you know, I get the politics of boxing and whatnot. But, see, people look at the story one way, and I see it another way. I see, one, Joe Louis was like Jackie Robinson, where he went through an untold amount of negative actions, whatever you want to say. It was all bad. He endured a lot. And we're talking about a guy who had the opportunity to quote unquote represent his country when he beat the German guy. He, you know, fought. Gosh, I'm trying to think of his name. I can't remember his name, but anyway, he beat him, and the whole master race thing. And he was a patriot. You know, he was, oh, Joe Louis, he beat the Nazis, yay! And then of course, 20 years later, they broke him for taxes and left him destitute, working as a doorman in Vegas casinos. But he was the bigger person, and he was humble, and he acquitted himself well for his race, as they would say. Point is, always ask to be the bigger person. Always ask to be the bigger. Why we got to be the bigger person? For what? You don't need to be the bigger person. Look, all we got to do is make sure. I mean, because look, we talk about, like, they talk about Black Lives Matter terrorists, whatnot. Because we don't want to get killed. I mean, because we're talking about unarmed black men. I mean, I'm not a criminal. I'm a nerd. I draw and read comics. I collect comics. Yes, I play sports. I'm somewhat in shape. And yes, I may be a tad bit handsome. Yes. But the point is, I'm not a criminal. And the issue is, although I'm not advocating, and I've said this a number of times, I don't advocate for brothers getting killed. But I will say that what about the real, real criminals? There's never the shootouts with the guys who are real criminals, real drug dudes who really don't belong on the street. We all know who they are. And the police do too. Those dudes aren't getting shot and killed. It's dudes like me. You know, to the point where you're like paranoid. Like, oh my God. Like, if I get stopped by the cops, what's going to happen? Am I going to die? You know, because that's the lot in life. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a dude who acts like he knows what he's talking about when I'm just perpetrating. Anyway, I need a break. This is Deuce Eclipse off of the album Hip Hop for Change. Love.
There's always been the reason, like the winter, like the summer, I be seizing, and whatever situation that I please in, I remember why I do this every reason. I was an outcast, chilling in the schoolyard, writing in my journal, little suckers, I'm a fool, y'all. I'm still writing, that's why none of y'all could get with me. I had love, you had hate, and what a tragedy. Till I can't breathe, till I can't sleep, till I can't walk, till the day I can't talk. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. Till I can't breathe, till I can't sleep, till I can't walk, till the day I can't talk. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. When I was 9, yeah, I had me an epiphany. I'm talking about God reaching down literally. This is your destiny, you're gonna leave a history. I'm still here, even though that you were mystery. So I hope you get the point like Vantage. The love I got for just protecting me from damage. Screwed it again, might be the definition, man. I got a premonition, I'ma love this thing. Till I can't breathe, till I can't sleep, till I can't walk, till the day I can't talk. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. Till I can't breathe, till I can't sleep, till I can't walk, till the day I can't talk. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. I'ma put my love in the air, don't stop. I got a heart that bleeds on a track. Mr. Brokey Galavetta planting seeds on a track. And a month later, they become a tree when he's back. While the others just blow like some leaves or a sack. The bass drum and the kick stand always there to give a brother some relief, peace from the atmosphere. I water that dirt. For every ounce that it's worth, I got a gang of metaphors and they be growing from the earth. Till I can't breathe, till I can't sleep, till I can't walk, till the day I can't talk. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. Till I can't breathe, till I can't sleep, till I can't walk, till the day I can't talk. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. Yo no tengo amor para la chota, pero para música mi corazón explota. Y yo hablo lo que quiero con mi boca. Yo tiro lírico como una pelota. Si estoy triste o alegre no me importa. Vendo mis canciones para comprar mi ropa. Cada noche, cada día en la tarde, yo escribo canciones para animarme. Till I can't breathe, till I can't sleep, till I can't walk, till the day I can't talk. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. Till I can't breathe, till I can't sleep, till I can't walk, till the day I can't talk. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop. I'ma put my love in the end and don't stop.
Alright, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Deuce Eclipse. Love. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Holla at you, boy. In the meantime, in between time, if you don't know what time it is, you probably haven't listened to my show. But I would just tell you, it's Groundhog Day time.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
What is that shit that happened again that we say, oh, hell no, too? Well, I'm guessing that you can kind of guess. But if you don't know, video shows the white cop repeatedly punching the black man after a traffic stop. I think I was just talking about that. Anyway, Richard Hubbard III. Video lying on his back in the street as an officer straddles him. Not in the good way that some of you ladies is thinking about being straddled and just... No. It's straddled and being pummeled again and again and again. Straddles him by his chest and it's just... In the video, Now, they said it was unclear from the video how much Hubbard was resisting when he was being punched. From what I saw, it was pretty clear. It was blurry, but pretty clear. The guys, one guy's holding you, the other guy is straddling your chest on top of your arm and is consistently punching you in the face. Now, as we know, one, bizarre world rules apply, which means that what you actually see is not the truth. Right? We've established that in the bizarre world that we live in, if you see something really happening, your eyes are lying to you. That's not what it is. So, you know, case in point, historically, we saw the Rodney King video, but everybody else saw something different. Because apparently when we see these videos, we are all hallucinating on LSD, right? We're just on the LSD. That's what it is. And it is a... It is a class, like they talk about class action suits. This is a class mass hysteria where apparently LSD enters into the system of every black person who see, and people, persons of color, sees dark color, sees these videos, and sees the brutality and the inhumane treatment that is applied. We see it, but apparently we can't see it because the LSD that is in our collective systems at the same time has messed us all up. And it's just, there's just no way we were seeing the right thing because, hey, we were all high. Now, granted, even though I've never had a drink or a smoke or any drug in my life, doesn't matter. I guess my nose job, when I broke my nose in high school, maybe I was high then. I kind of had a reason, but, you know, according to the law, no. I was sniffing that, you know, getting a nose job, getting your nose reconstructed, that don't count. It's still a druggie. Anyway, my point is the LSD was in me too. I'm still kicking it right now. I've been to rehab 25 times. Apparently. It's a rehab I don't know anything about, but apparently I've been to rehab so many. Because I talked about it. I named a whole segment, whatever. Subject matter, Groundhog Day. Off the Bill Murray movie, where the same thing happens every day. Now, unlike the movie, I'm not necessarily going to be happy or look at it in a positive manner where I can go ahead and say, you know what, I feel better about this and start doing nice things for the people who are oppressing me. I don't think that I'm going to do that. I don't think it's in me to do it. It's not one of my things. I don't know. And maybe it's just maybe once again I'm skewed, because I see a video like this and I see cruel and unusual treatment, punishment, and I think it's a travesty of justice. Some folks see something different because they are not on LSD. And that's, I mean, I guess it's the way you see these things in the bizarre world. You know, as you can have a person who saw a woman get killed and was like, yeah, it's good that that happened to her like that. Because that's cool. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the no humanity, and folks can't look at us as human. Now, we can talk about the lack of humanity, or we can talk about the humanity, the exact opposite of Groundhog Day, but it's a, what do we call it? It's a different kind of way of looking at Groundhog Day. Because in the suburbs, they, and you know, it's one of the things that I've been following forever and a day, where they talk about the opioid crisis. You know, I've been following this opioid crisis forever and a day. Like, really? This is where it is. It's all about this opioid crisis. Man, can't get away from it, right? It's just so much. It's sad what happens when people get addicted to drugs, right? It's not sad when it was us during crack flooding into the black community. But now it's a sad thing. And it's one of those things that we have to do something about this. We have to make sure that this doesn't overrun our community. Right? I mean, this can't overrun our community. It's too much. It's just too much. So you have a law signed into existence, HB 2355, signed in Oregon by Governor Kate Brown, which says it downgrades first-time simple drug possession offenses from felonies to misdemeanors, which will now carry a maximum penalty of 1 year in prison, a $6,250 fine, or both. That's it. For example, under previous guidelines, possession of any amount of drugs like cocaine or methamphetamine could be punished by up to 5 years in prison. Possession of substances like heroin or MDMA carried up to 10 years. Think about that for a second. Under previous guidelines, possession of the drugs that were a blight in the black community, you can get 5 to 10. Now, you can get a maximum of a year or a fine or maybe both. What is the shift? What is the shift? Oh, man. The shift is, it's a suburban issue now. What used to be a quote-unquote inner city issue is no longer. It's the suburbs now. Now, I bring this up because it's racist. I mean, it's gentrification of the criminal justice system. Hello. Criminal justice system gentrification at its finest. Where you can go to jail for a long ass time. No more. Because it's not that problem in your community. So, you know, we're going to get you on something else. Right now, we want to be kinder, gentler. And as she says, addressing disparities that too often fall along racial and socioeconomic lines should not be political issues. Here in Oregon, we're demonstrating that we can make meaningful progress to improve the lives of Oregonians by working together around our shared values. And what did they say? Oregon's the latest state to overhaul its drug laws amid that broad push to promote treatment rather than diverting low-level users and those suffering from addiction into jails and prisons. Now, ain't that nice? When it was, you know, crack and cocaine in the black community, lock their ass up. Now we talking about being kinder and gentler because they need treatment. Ain't that nice? I mean, don't it make your heart just want to go? The humanity. The man, it's going. It would make me cry if I had tear ducts for that kind of people in this kind of bullshit fuckery. I mean, it's hypocrisy at its finest. It is just, yes, rather, it is stupid as fuck. And it is beyond crazy. But it's just par for the course. Because what we're talking about here is, as I stated earlier, gentrification of the social justice system. Treatment for them, jail for us. And on that note, I am Mr. F the N-word. This is another Smooth Drama production. And, of course, I am out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.